Good evening, everyone. Welcome. If you were at intercession on Thursday, we just felt that we had to wait on God. And it was amazing. We started worshiping, and I think here by the end, there was about 20 minutes, Annika, about 20 minutes, we were just like in silence before God. We didn't say anything. No one was praying in tongues. We're just in silence before God. And what I realized is we didn't even have to pray. We were just sitting in God's presence. It was really, really amazing. So what was my point? My point was that as we were worshiping now, I'm thinking, yo, we can just do this all night. And God can just come and minister to us. We don't even need someone to come and talk. But I'm so excited. I'm so glad that I can still talk tonight. On Friday night, we went to this intercession meeting or teaching in Stellenbosch, and it was incredible. I learned so much. But even before the teaching started, there was this guy, and he said, okay, we're going to pray now. Why? Because we're going to pray because we want to receive the word that God wants to come and give us. So cool, Leona, you prayed it now. So, but I really want us, before we start tonight, I know you're sitting down, all of you, but I want you to stand again. And what we're going to do is we're going to say, Lord, this is my heart. I come tonight. Come and open my heart to receive. Because many times we come to church and we just hear. We just waltz in, if you can do the waltz. And we come and we're not prepared. But I feel God wants us to really prepare our hearts tonight to receive the word. So I'll pray over the mic, but pray out loud. So Father, come and I give you my heart tonight. Father, you come and do your work. You come and do your work, Father. Come and open my eyes to see. To see what you want to do, Father. Open my ears to hear your word tonight, Father, so that when I walk out of here tonight, I will not be the same, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are glorious in this place, Father. And I don't want to walk out here the same, Father. I want to walk out here changed. I want to see you, Father. I want to know you. Thank you, Lord. Here's my heart, Father. I surrender to you. Come and have your way in me. Amen. I think we're going to work on that one. I did hear Leona. I'm not sure about anyone else, but that's good. We'll get there. As you know, I like the intercession part or the praying part in church. And if you've been at intercession, and even if you've been in church for the last few weeks, you will realize we're busy with the season of the messenger. Does anyone know what that means? Yes? No? Okay, so the season of the messenger is basically getting the gospel out, you know, telling people about Jesus, not keeping it to ourselves. Now, the thing about this season of the messenger, it's not only a season. It's not only a season, but we call it a season in our church for this time, for now, because we believe God is equipping us. He's talking to us. He's awakening us. To see the lost, to see the people out there. I see everyone's looking at the... Yes, we are talking about the presence of God tonight. But before we get there, a while back I've been praying, or this whole year I've been praying for the lost. Really, God, what do you want us to do? Father, where must we go? Father, how do we pray so that people come in? How do I speak to people? What do I do, Father? And the one morning I was praying and God just gave me this question. And he asked me, why do you want people to be saved? Now, if you hear that question, it might sound like an easy question, right? I mean, I started answering immediately. I know. Eternal life, Father. Abundance. Joy. To be set free. All of those. I had all the answers. But as I was answering God, I realized, yo, I just don't feel it in my heart. I'm giving the right answers, but something is missing. What am I missing? And since that day, every time I pray for the lost, so I'm like feeling, no, my heart is not there. Something is not there in my heart that I want when I pray for the lost, that I want when I step into work and I see people that don't know God. There's something I'm missing. There's something that's not there. And as I was preparing this sermon in the last week, God just reminded me about this question. and he showed me and he said, this is what I want you to have in your heart. So that when you pray for other people, that they might also know me, that they might also know my presence, because there's just nothing like it. So what we're going to speak about tonight is God's presence. Now that's a big topic. Ask me if you want to prepare for God's presence in a week. No ways. No ways. So what we're going to do tonight is just touch on a little bit of it. But I believe God wants to come and do something in our hearts. So if we want people to know God, if we want the lost to know God, to know his presence, then firstly we must know it, right? We must know what is God's presence. Who is God? And I've got good news tonight about that. If we look in the Bible, we can see that it was always God's great desire to dwell with his people. It's incredible. Amen. Matthew, I like it. It was always God's great passion to dwell with his people. We see it in Scripture. We see it from Genesis to Revelation. It's God's desire. Actually, there's more in Scripture about God wanting to dwell and to be with us than people wanting to be with God. Go and read it. You'll see it in every book in the Bible. But let's have a look at it. We'll start in Genesis, just quickly, Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3, verse 8, it says the following. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid himself from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Now that was after they sinned, and you can see they tried to hide from the presence of God. But as they were hiding, they heard God coming. Now I don't know about you, but if I hear God coming, I don't know if I'll get out the other way or just be flat on my face. But they heard God, so that's just for me a sign that God, they were in God's presence. God wanted to dwell with them. It's so cool. God not only wants to dwell with us, he wants to make it visible. They heard God's footsteps. Next one, tabernacle in the Old Testament. We're going to read a few scriptures about that. But when God told Moses to make this tabernacle, to set it up, he actually showed him exactly how to do it. And we can read it in Exodus 25, verse 8. Sorry, blessing, I'm going to move quickly. Are you with me? Okay. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Oh. It's just for me. God said, I want to dwell in their midst. I want to be with my people. The next one, Exodus 29, verse 43. And let them make me a sanctuary. Oh, that's the same one. Okay. That I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. So what did God say? He wants to dwell with them, but he also wants to meet with them. Okay. Exodus 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Also visible. God's glory coming and covering the tabernacle. Are you also with me? Great. Then we see in the New Testament, God sent Jesus to walk amongst us, to walk amongst the people. So what is that? That's God's glory. That's God's presence made manifest on earth. And why do we say that? We read it in Colossians 1, verse 19. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So I would say that's God on earth. Would you agree with me? All the fullness of God is in Jesus. And what it say in John 1, verse 14 is, and the word became flesh and dwelled amongst us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, the word came to dwell among us. Are you getting there? Great. Megan is excited. So when we look at Jesus, it's a revelation of God. When we look at Jesus, we see God. And we see this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. God's glory is in the face of Christ. So if we want to see God, we look to Jesus. I must say I'm saying a lot of stuff tonight. So you must just take it in, okay? Don't think too much, but just be, yes, Lord, I'm receiving you. What happened then is when God left, he said, okay, here's my Holy Spirit. I leave you my helper that will be in you. Again, God dwelling with us, being with us, meeting with us. And then we know that Jesus is going to come back to come and fetch us. And what are we going to do? We're going to spend eternity with God. With who? With God. We're going to spend eternity with God. Some of you didn't hear that. We're going to spend eternity with God. I mean, he could have, thank you, Lindiwe. We could have been like, God could have said, you know what, I'm going to create you a new earth. All the people that followed me and loved me, you're going to be there, but I'll still be here. No, he didn't say that. He said we're going to spend eternity with God. Now, what I want to get to tonight is, God wants to dwell in our midst. He wants to dwell with us. Who of you believe that? Awesome. And I like this thing of Augustine. I had to practice that, how to remember that name. Augustine, not Augustine, friendly. Okay, he said the following. Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee. I just like it. And it's just such a sign for me that how many times do we feel just so restless? We just feel so restless because we know we're not in that place where we know God. We're not in that place where we're in his presence. When I told my mom what I'm going to preach about tonight, the presence of God, and she said, yeah, the biggest thing is the lack thereof. And I said, exactly, exactly. So that's that restless heart, you know, just not knowing God, just not knowing God. So how do we get to this place? What is this? What are we talking about when we're talking about the presence of God? What is this communion with him? And not only in theory. You know, we can know God through the Bible. I mean, we can know the whole Bible, but we cannot know his presence. We cannot have a real experience with the living God. All here, but it's not reality for us. Let's have a look. Let's have a look what happened in the Old Testament. We were talking about the tabernacle. We're talking about the glory of God coming over the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle worked like this. There was an outer court. I should have had a picture, but sorry, I'm not like that. There was an outer court. Then there was a holy place. And then there were a most holy place. Okay? So, if you want to know more about the detail, come to Bible school. We really explain everything in there. Amen. Esther says amen. But what I want to focus on tonight is the holy place, the most holy place. Now, the most holy place, there was a curtain in front of this most holy place. Not like our curtains today that all the light shine through it. A really thick curtain hanging between the holy place and the most holy place. And if you don't believe me, we're going to read it in Scripture. Exodus 26, verse 33. It says, God told Moses how to do the whole temple, how to set it up. And he said, hang the curtain from the clasps and place the Ark of the Covenant law behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Okay, so you see that curtain. Now, what was in the most holy place? In the most holy place was God's presence. Now, as we speak about God's presence these days, it's just like, thank you, Lord, for your presence. And there we go on. But when we look at the presence, God's presence in that place, it was magnificent. It was the one word they use, it's awful. No, not awful like in slag, but like magnificent, big, great, glorious manifestation of God's presence in that room. To give you an idea, there was a high priest that could enter into the most holy. And when could he enter in? Only once a year. And that was after a lot of sacrifices and stuff. Once a year, this high priest could go through the curtain into the most holy place. Only once a year. And what happened is sometimes, well, not sometimes, they put like clockies, bells around his legs. So that if he died in God's presence, then they could just pull him out if they didn't hear him anymore. So just giving you this picture of the most holy place, where when you step in, you're in God's presence. You know that there's no way that you can look up, that God is in this place, that He is magnified, that the King of Kings is manifest in this place. His presence is all around. Are you getting that? Fantastic. But what happened then? What do we see in the New Testament? What happened in the New Testament? Who came to earth? Jesus Christ came to earth. And why did He come? He came to die for our sins. But more than that. Matthew 27, verse 50 to 51. This was when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. Now I'll give you a guess what curtain that is. That curtain is the curtain between the holy place and the most holy place. What did God do? He said, I want you to enter into that holy place, that most holy place. That place where only once a year a priest could enter in and sometimes die because of God's presence. What is God saying here? He made a way for us through the Son, through His Son, through the blood of Jesus Christ, to enter into the most holy place. You know, this is here where I get excited. This is here where I'm like, God, wow. God, what are You doing? What are You saying to us? What are You saying to us that we also can experience that place where You are all around, where You are magnificent, where we know that You are with us? That place where we can talk to You. You know what God said when they enter into the most holy, to the high priest? He wants to show them what to do. He wants to give them new words. He wants to tell them what to go and tell to Israel. God wants to do that with us. He wants us to have a real experience with Him. Are you all still with me? Oh, I love it. This face is just, it's awesome. Okay. Great. So I want to ask you this question tonight. Do you know God in a personal experience? Do you know God in His presence? Have you ever entered into His presence? Before I go on, I need to tell you the story. I was also a student once, if you don't believe me or don't know. But we were in Pretoria, and we were like going for it. I remember once we had this 40-day prayer. Now, it wasn't only like every week or every day we meet for prayer. We had 24/7. I don't know if you were there yet. We had this prayer room, and we used to go and pray there. Like, you had to put your name on when you're going to pray, right through the night, right through the day. And as students, I remember we were so excited about it. You know, that was like, yeah, we can't wait to pray. But, you know, it was just like a thing to do. But what I experienced there one evening was God's presence. It was just magnificent. It was this one evening when we decided, okay, there's slots open in the evening. We packed my bucky and we went, and we were sleeping in the office, and we went to pray and all of that. But that evening I was sitting there and I was praying. Even before I started praying, when I just entered into the room, I was like, God is here. When I walked out, I'm like, I can't wait to go back. I can't wait to enter into that prayer room again, because I knew that God was there. And this story reminded me about another story. We, as students also, help with events, like events company. It's a Christian events company. And what happened is they had the Planet Shakers. Who of you knows Planet Shakers? It's a Australian band, I think, gospel band. And the evening we were going, they were going to help out. There's a lot of people coming. We're helping the event coordinators and all of that. And we're standing, they're speaking to us beforehand, wanting to give us some tasks to do. Okay, because we're volunteering. And we're standing there, and the lady's like, okay, the first thing, who would like to work in the green room? I don't know who of you knows what a green room is. Ferdi and Yunal, where are they? They will tell you exactly what a green room is. But that's where the artists meet beforehand. And they have some food, and they just get together. It's like a cool place, you know? If it's cool artists, it's a real cool place. Okay, so Natasha and I were standing there. That's my friend who's now pregnant in South Korea. But we were standing there, and we're looking at each other, and we're like, what's a green room? You know, it sounds a bit funny, but anyway, so no one's putting up their hands, so we're like, okay, we'll do it, you know, volunteering, we're going to work in the green room. And it was so cool. Beforehand, we're standing outside the door, and we heard the band praying inside. We heard them, they were going for it. You know, I've never heard people prayed like that before, and we're just standing outside, we're like, whoa, you know, these guys are praying. And when they went up to the stage, we had to go into the green room. So we had to sort of protect it. I don't know what we would have done if someone came. But we were there looking after the green room, and we had some of their food and, you know, stuff like that, feeling very special. We were chatting and going, and then we started, like, just relaxing, and I was sort of listening to what they're doing. And I'm sitting there, and I realize God is in this place. You know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, sure, I don't know if I ever experienced something like this, and I just started praying. I was like, God, you are magnificent. I couldn't stop just telling God how big he is. And in that moment, God started to speak to me and just telling me how he wants me to come to him, how he wants me to be in his presence. Like, I had such an encounter with God in that room that I made a decision, Lord, I'm going to come to you every day. You know, and I was really excited about that. Come Monday, I'm there waking up early, ready to come into God's presence, ready to meet with God. And it went okay. Yeah, by Wednesday, I'm like, oh, nothing's really happening. What's going on here? By Friday, I didn't even get up early anymore. So when I was thinking about this week, I thought I want to tell you the testimony of me having an encounter with God. But then God reminded me about the rest of the week. And he asked me, what happened there? What happened in the rest of the week? And I was like, sure, that is a good question. And I realized that week I was after the experience of God's presence. I experienced God in a real way, a real way. In that evening when I was in that green room. But that week, it had nothing to do with God. I was just waiting for that same experience. I was just waiting for that same experience. And sometimes that's the same with us. You know, we run from one meeting to the next because we experience God. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm getting at tonight is that God wants to meet with us individually. He wants to come and show us who he is. He wants us to enter into his presence. Yes, we do it like this, and I love it. God always comes. He's never far. He's always near to us. But God wants us, you and me, to come and say, I want you to know me. I want you to enter into my presence. I want you to walk through that curtain there in that most holy place where I'm waiting for you. Are you all still with me? Amen. It means let it be. So what I feel that we're just going to touch on tonight, and there's many other stuff that we can talk about, but I felt this is what God wants to share with us as a church tonight. This is what he wants to come and just sort of give us an idea about why can't we enter in? And even before I start with that, I want to tell you tonight that it's not God. It's not God that says, you are not good enough, stay out of my presence. Never. Never, never. God said he opened a way for us. It says in Hebrews 11, I hope I'm at the right place. Yes. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. God said he made a way for us to how enter in with confidence. Another translation says, with boldness. You know, he could have said, if you repent of all your sins every day and do good works, then you can have confidence and enter in. But it doesn't say that, does it? It says with confidence we can enter in. So before we even go on, I want to tell you that God wants you to enter into that most holy place. Not because what you did or didn't do, not because of anything that someone else did, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can every day come and enter in. What is keeping us from the presence of God? Not God, but ourselves. And we're going to look at three things. Three. I have to practice that always. Three things. What is keeping us from the presence of God, from the most holy place, from entering in? And the first thing, as I said, is self. It's us. You know, a few years back, or when I was a student, I really was struggling with self-pity. It was a difficult thing for me. I don't know who of you struggles with that, but I don't wish it on anyone. But you know, when you start, you're like, oh, that person didn't greet me. Oh, nobody likes me. Oh, no. And so you go on and it gets lacquer, you know? And you start to cry and you're like, and then this thing comes up and that thing comes up, but it's bad. You know what happens with self-pity? It's all me. It's all eyes on me. It's a form of really being proud. Proudful. Proud. Great. I'm Afrikaans, by the way. Very proud of it. Proud. Right. So that thing was keeping me from God. Because when I stepped out of church, I didn't think about the word or what God said. I was like, that didn't happen to me. Or no. And all eyes was on myself. And God had to come in a service and just tell me, this has to stop. This has to stop. What you're doing, you're sinning before me. You're just looking at yourself. And you know, it wasn't an easy thing to stop. Because the thoughts would just come. Ooh, me, no. And I had to take a stand and say, I will not listen to this thought now. I will go on. Ooh, everyone went out, they didn't invite you. Ooh, you can really now really get sad about that. I can just be like, great, I can pray tonight, or whatever. But just not listen to what God, yeah, do that. So what we do is, when we come to God's presence, is that we focus on ourselves. Even we start to repent. But we repent about this and this, and I'm so bad. And what are you doing? You're just focusing on yourself the whole time. Ourselves, when we focus on ourselves, when we look to ourselves, we are keeping away from God's presence. He's waiting there for us, and all that we can do is just like, me. And as I have my head down, I'm not able to look up and see, oh, God, I want to look at you. Yes, there's a place for repentance, but God wants us to enter in. God wants us to enter into his presence. So what do we need to do? Luke 9:23 says it so well. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Sure. You know, we went to this STI course, Stellenbosch Theological Institute. Great. And Corneille Becker was teaching there for a whole week, and it changed my life completely. And he was talking about discipleship, and this is the main thing. Deny yourself and follow me. Deny yourself and follow me. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, deny yourself. I know there's some people here tonight that need to say, sure, my eyes have been focusing on myself too much. I want to take it off. I want to put it on Jesus. I want to know him. I want to know his presence. Do you know what's a cool thing is that God does it for us. We just yield and trust him. And he comes and helps us to do that. Let me just show you. I was telling you about intercession, how we were waiting on God. And then just before we get up, just felt this word. And I felt God saying that he is the only God. He is the only king. You know what? There's only place for one God, for one king in your life. And sometimes ourselves take that place over from what God wants to do and be in our lives. Okay, we're getting deep. Are you still with me? Awesome. The second one that I believe is keeping us away from God's presence is unbelief. Disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, Rabbi, teacher, teach us to pray. And how did Jesus start? He said, our Father who art in heaven. Now, if you look at Father, that's very personal. He could have said, great I am, glorious King. But he said, our Father who art in heaven. God wants intimate relationship with us. He wants to be that place that we have a real experience, like that personality with a Father. Conversation with a Father. But you know what we do these days? We love a mere idea of God. We love a mere idea. We love a mere principle of God. I heard Fred tell this once. He said that our grandfathers, is that right? My oma and opa? Yes, they feared God. They really feared God. And you must really listen to Raina's sermon last week. If you missed it, he was talking about the fear of God. But our grandparents knew how to fear God. And what happened in the next generation was people saw that. The children saw that, but they didn't know why. They weren't told why they feared God. And what happened to the next generation is they started to be religious. And what happened to our generation? We were rebelling. Because we saw our fathers and mothers aren't serving God. They're doing things, but it's merely serving a principle. They're mere serving an idea of God. They were never told who God is. They were never told about the love of Christ. They just saw people fearing God, and I couldn't understand it. So today, we must come back to a place where we believe. Where we believe in God. And it says it so well in Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. What does it say? When we draw near to God, we must believe that he exists. It doesn't help me coming near, and I just think it's something. No, it's a God, big, mightiful, our Father waiting for me to draw near, to step in. So what must we have? We must have faith. And I'm standing here, and you must think, yeah, you have faith. I realized a few weeks ago, I don't. You know, faith enables our spiritual senses to function. Why? I believe there's a God. I believe he's above everything. And all of a sudden, I'm more visible to what God is doing, that he's constantly with me. Yes, he is constantly with me. Let me tell you the story. A few weeks ago, Esty and I felt that God wants us to fast. Now, we spoke about fast the last time. I must just say, when God tells us to fast, it's just like, yes, Lord, we're going to fast. Usually there's about 10 minutes maybe, where I really rebel. I'm like, again, Lord? So please, when God tells you to fast, there's always a specific reason to do it. But what happened is that God told us to fast, and he told us to fast for the body of Christ, and more specifically for Rondebosch, for this church. And what we did a six-week fast, a Daniel fast. So all you eat is vegetables, my favorite, and then also some fruit. Okay, so for that 6 weeks we were fasting. What happened on the first day is I got out of my car the Monday, and I was on my way to the office. And as I walked there, I was just like, oh no, I can't have a cup of tea this morning. And as I walked further, I'm like, oh no, I can't have lunch. Oh no, I can't have that biscuits we bought last week. You know, and I was just like thinking, oh, and I got really annoyed, and I was like, God, why must I fast for the body? And I told Esty, I really manifested. But on my way to the office, I realized, sure, my heart sucks, if I can use that word in church. But my heart really was bad towards the body. I thought I loved the body. I love church. I thought I loved the body. I loved the body of Christ. But when I had to sacrifice, I realized, sure, my body sucks. My heart really sucks towards the body. But I repented, and when I got to the office, that whole ordeal was done. I manifested, I repented, and I said, okay, God, I'll do it. And we went on. Then again in the middle of the fast, now you must remember this is a 6 weeks thing. So now we come in the middle of the fast, and Esty and I both are having bad days. You know, it's just like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? Is there even something happening? You know, you really get like tired and so on. And that afternoon I went to God, I said, Lord, and I'm complaining. I said, Father, why are we doing this? And no. I don't know if you've ever come to God like that. And God is so faithful, he came to answer me and he said, Hebrews 11. Now I had to go look. But it's all about the heroes of faith. I don't know who of you knows Hebrews 11, but it's awesome. It's awesome. It's talking about people. You know, God just said something to them and then they did it. You know, just think about someone like Sarah. That God told Abraham that he's going to have how many kids and father of the nations and all of that. But then Sarah just didn't get pregnant. But by faith, they just walked. They were just walking, just trusting God. Noah, just building that ark, you know. And I was feeling really stupid, thinking, what am I doing? And then I read, oh, Noah. People are like making jokes at him. No one's joking at me. Stuff like that. But what I realized that day is that God spoke to me. He said to me, you don't walk by sight. You don't walk about what you see around you. You don't walk according to how you feel. You walk by faith. You walk by faith in knowing that God is true, that he is faithful, that his will be done. And why do I say that faith, enables our spiritual senses to function, is if we don't have faith, we don't see what God is doing. We cannot see the unseen. And I want to tell you today that God wants us to see not what is seen, but the unseen. Seeing him, what is he doing? What is he doing in our church? What is he doing in our midst? It's time that we stop the habit of ignoring the spiritual stuff and focus on God. I want to read you just, okay, we did that. Don't walk by sight, walk by faith. Okay, I'm going to pull a CS on you. Shake the person next to you and say, we must have faith. Awesome, now we're all awake also. We're going to get to the final one, and this is the one that I really felt God just laying on my heart for us. And the final one for us not abling or being able to enter into God's presence, into that most holy place, is the fact that we are not seeking it. Ouch. You know, we can be Christians all our lives. We can read our Bible, we can pray, we can come to church every Sunday, we can experience God in church, but we can never enter into the most holy place where we meet with God. We can never have that real experience of meeting with God. And guys, I want to tell you that God wants to meet with us. We see it in his word, we see it how he said he wants to dwell amongst his people. God wants to meet with us. He wants to meet with you. He has things that he wants to tell you. But we're keeping away. We're not seeking it. And I'm telling you, there's other stuff that we're seeking after, but God is saying, seek me. Come to me. I want to talk to you, my child. I've got a special place for you. I've got things that I want to tell you that I've never told anyone else before. I've got things that I want to show you for your family. I've got things that I want to show you about where you are going, what I want you to step in. I've got things that I want to show you about how you're going to be the best dad ever because I want you to do this. I want you to pray like this for your sons and your daughters. And I want to tell you, we have some mothers in the house tonight. I just want to tell you, I think it's the most awesome thing ever to be a mother. And I just want to honor you for the great work that you're doing and how much you're pouring into your children. It's just awesome to see it. Getting distracted, but I feel that's something that I needed to share with you. So what happens is that many times in church, we see someone else experiencing God like that. Have you seen that? People really, you can see it. You can see that person knows how to enter into the presence of God. You can see when they come out of there, they met with God. They didn't just read their Bible, pray a bit, and maybe feel they must do this and or that. They really met with God. And then we're like, but why can some people have it and I can't have it? It's not like I'm not praying, you know? It's not like I'm not reading my Bible. Let's look at some examples. I just want to tell you, it's not God. It's us. The difference is in us. When we look at the Bible, we look at, let's say, who can I choose? David and Abram. They really knew God. They really moved into his presence. You know, just go read Psalms. It's incredible. It's incredible. David knew God. Abram knew God. Abram was called a friend of God. Were they the same people? No ways. Definitely not the same personality. I don't know if Abram could play the instrument. Maybe. I'm not sure. But they were not the same people. But what did they do? What did both of them do? They seeked God. Yo, if you read the Psalms, David is just speaking the whole time of seeking God. We read it in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." That's one scripture, and that's in the Old Testament. Go read the New Testament. God is saying, "Seek me." Seek me, he says in the New Testament, and you will find me. He's calling, he says, seek me, seek me. Don't seek other stuff, seek me, and you will find me. I love what David said. He said in Psalm 27, "You have said," yes, God is saying, "seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." Is that your cry tonight? God saying, "Seek me." Are you saying, "Your face, Lord, do I seek? The most holy place, Lord, do I seek?" You know what we do? We copy each other's experiences of God. But I'm telling you tonight that God wants you to enter in. Jamie Lee, he wants you to enter in. Into that place, into that most holy place where you know God. Where you see him face to face. Where you see, you know what? When I walk out and I start praying for the lost, there's no ways that I'm praying the same anymore. No ways. When I walked into a shop and I talked to the lady sitting at the counter, I see I'm not talking to her in the same way. Because I'm filled with who God is. I'm knowing God. I know God loves this lady more than anything ever. I walked into Pick and Pay this morning. I was like, I couldn't help. I'm like, "Can I pray for you?" Get to the next one. How are you? God loves you. You know, God wants us to know him. Why? Not only for us, but as I said in the beginning, if we know God, that's what we want for other people, to also know him like that. To also know that this is a God who's full of love, who's bigger than we can ever imagine, and he wants to meet with us. Where do you find anything like that ever? There's nothing greater than that. Nothing greater than that. You know what? Let's turn and see God earnestly. So Esther, I'm going to use as example, but Esther always says that she doesn't walk out of that place. She says, like, "Lord, I'm seeking you. I want to see you. I'm here. I want to be in your presence." Is your heart longing for God like that tonight? Are you seeking for him like that tonight? Longing for his presence, longing to step into him, to say, "Lord, yes, I want to hear your voice again today. I want to come to you." Not only the experience. Not only the experience, but to be in the place where we know that God is there and he loves me more than anything else. God is forever seeking to manifest himself to us. And I want you to know that tonight. This great King we worship now, we sing songs to, we adore, he wants to manifest himself to us. You know what? When you walk into that room, you must always be like this, or almost be like this. I wonder what God is going to come and do today. You know, when I get up in the mornings, I can't wait. I'm like waiting for that clock. Like I must wait for the clock. But anyways, I'm like, okay, it's now that time. Okay, I can sleep a bit. Oh, it's now that time. Boom, I can get. Go, God, here I am. I want to meet with you every day like that. I remember I told you many times, or the people that pray a lot, every one of us must pray, but the intercession stuff at Bible school, when I moved into a new flat in Wynberg, when I moved in there, God told me I'm here to intercede for Wynberg, and I just said, "God, I'm not an intercessor." but God knew better. And what happened is every time I walked into that room, I knew I had to pray because I saw Weinberg. And it got to that stage that every day after work, 4 o'clock, I would be praying there on the carpet. And we'll get to a stage where I can't wait for 4 o'clock. I cannot wait for 4 o'clock because I know I'm going to meet with God. And I knew he was going to be there waiting for me. And I knew that he was teaching me how to pray. He was teaching me intimate stuff that I would never have learned from anyone else. And I'm telling you, that's what God wants for us. He wants us to enter in. He wants us to enter into that most holy place where we can't wait to see him. We can't wait to meet with him. Are you seeking God tonight? Are you seeking him? Do you want to see his manifest presence? Do you want to be in that most holy place? Do you want to have a relationship with God? And I'm telling you, it's nothing that you do. God is waiting for us. He's waiting for us. And he's waiting for us to carry that over to the people around us. The people at my work, my family, wherever. Let me end off with the story. I like it quite a bit. If I don't pronounce the names right, I'm sorry. But it's this guy, he was a Baptist minister in the 1900s. His name was A.J. Gordon. And he had a dream once. He wrote this book. It's named When Christ Came to Church. And he wrote this book once, he dreamt once, that he was preaching. And as he was ready, you know, getting up to the pulpit, ready to start preaching, the usher brought in someone from the back. And he's like, he couldn't get his eyes or take his eyes off this guy walking in. And as he's preaching, he's just keeping his eyes on this guy. He's like, there's something about this guy and so on. And after the service, he went to the usher and he's like, who is this guy? And the usher looked at him. He's like, didn't you know? He's like, no, who is this guy? And the usher is like, didn't you know? He's like, who is it? He said, it's Jesus Christ. He said, and he woke up that next morning after this dream and his life was transformed. His life was changed because what he realized when he preached every time from that day forth that Jesus was here. Jesus was in the room. He was sitting in the aisle. He was standing next to me. Jesus was there. And that's what God wants us to know. That wherever we go, that Jesus is there. He's waiting for us just to see. Is it a matter of fact that we didn't realize? We didn't see? Or is ourselves just keeping us away from seeing Christ, from entering into that most holy place? I want you to close your eyes tonight as we're going to pray. And just trust God to come and do something. Do something in our hearts. Do something in our midst. But most of all, that we can come to a place and say, Father, we are nothing without you. We are nothing without you. Father, we worship you tonight, Lord. We say, Father, there's no one like you. Father, what can compare to you, Lord? What can compare to your presence, Lord? And Father, thank you, Lord, tonight we can just repent and say, Father, we've not been seeking your presence, Lord. We've not been seeking you, Father. We've been kept away by things in our lives, Father. But tonight, Father, we want to say, Lord, we seek you. Father, we want to know you like that, Father. We want to know you, Lord. We want to know you, Father. We want to know you. We want to know you, Father. And tonight, there's people here. You hear me talking about God, and you hear me talking about Jesus and what he did for us and how he tore that veil so that we can enter in, but you actually never surrendered to God. You actually don't have a relationship with God. I'm telling you, there's people here tonight, you think you've been a Christian for how long, but actually you've never had a relationship with God. You've never been at that place where you know him, where you know that he loves you more than anything. And I feel God wants you to come to him tonight, to run to him. You know, God wants us to surrender to him, to deny ourselves and follow him. It's not an easy task. It's not an easy thing to do. But God is wanting us to come. And if you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I want you to come tonight. If you're here and you feel that you know that there's no way that you ever really did come into that place, They want to say, God wants you to come tonight. You know what? I was in this place a few years ago when I was in school. And the guy also said this. He says, there's people that never surrendered their life to God. You know, and I knew God. Since an early age, I knew God. But that evening, I realized I never surrendered my life. I never said, Lord, I deny myself and I follow you. I deny my feelings, my stuff, Lord. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to live for you. And I feel God is saying that tonight. Not living for yourself anymore, but living for God. Surrendering everything to Him. Do you know what happened to me? My heart was beating out of my chest and I knew the Holy Spirit was talking to me. So if you are here tonight and you feel your heart is beating, it wants to fall out of your chest. It wants to come. It's just alive. Then the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight and say, come back to me, my child. Come to me. I want you. I want you to come to me. And if that is you tonight, I just want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand tonight if you feel that you need to come to God, that you need to surrender. You need to deny yourself and come back to God. God is faithful. God is true. His love never fails. It never goes away. He stays the same always. And I want to pray for you, and I want to say, thank you, Lord, that our hearts will never be the same again. Lord, when we deny, it feels like such a heavy thing to do, Lord, but you are gracious and good. And our lives will never be the same again, Father. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. If you're here tonight and you feel, you heard the word, You heard what I was talking about, but you know that you've never experienced God. You know that you've never entered into that most holy place. You know that when you come to God, it's just about reading the Bible, and you are like me, that yeah, by Wednesday, you like just like God, you don't exist, or you don't want to speak to me. But tonight, if you're here and you're saying, God, I seek you. God, I want to deny myself. God, I believe in you. I want you to come to the front. I want you to come to the front. Why? Not because I want to see who is not believing or whatever. I want you to come to the front and say, Lord, I seek you. God, I seek your presence. Father, I seek you to be visible in my life when I walk, where I go. Father, I want to enter into that presence. So if that's you tonight, I want you to come to the front. Just come to the front. God wants to meet with you tonight. He wants to meet with you. He wants to show himself to you. He wants to show his glory to you. Do you know what's the thing about God's presence? That is always glorified in his presence. God is always glorified, and he wants to show you tonight what is his glory. He wants to show you tonight what is his presence. He wants you to give it over to him tonight so that you don't have to work at it anymore. But just come in. Just come into the Father. Just come and meet with the Father. We're not going to have facilitators praying for you tonight. It's not about you and someone else. It's between you and God. God wants you to enter in. He wants you to enter in. As you're sitting here, just start talking to God. Just say, Lord, here I am. This is me, Father. I want to know you. I want to know your presence, Father. What is keeping me from you? If you're here tonight and you're really feeling scared, you're like, I'm just not good enough. I'm telling you, that's a lie. Put it aside. If you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I'm not good enough, I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Just say, God, here I am. I'm seeking you. No matter what, I'm seeking you. We're going to sing a song now. Actually, we don't have to sing. We can just sit here. But as you're sitting, I want you to talk to God. I want you to talk to God, and I want you, if you realize that, God, this is how I want to know you, then I want you to come. Just come to the front. We're going to pray for another group of people, but let's just wait a bit. Let's just wait a bit. I feel God just wants to do something in our midst. close your eyes, start talking to God. Don't focus on the person next to you. Just say, Lord, I'm putting my eyes on you now. I just want to look at you, Father. I just want to see your glory. I just want to see your presence here tonight. I don't know you, Lord, but I want to know you. Just feel to share this with you. When I was praying for the service tonight, I asked God, Lord, what do you want me to share tonight? And what happened is that I had to wait. I waited about a week before God told me. And when God tells you to speak about his presence, it's not normal. I was actually lying on my bed, just on my side, and as I was lying there, God just said to me, came to show me that he wants to talk about his presence tonight. He wants me to speak about his presence tonight. You know, my whole body reacted because God was there. My whole body reacted. I knew that God was there and he was in that room, and it was just too much for me. I was like, God, how do we do this? I couldn't even say it. I was like, the presence of God, and then I will freak out completely. Because what is that? Do we even understand that? Do we desire that? And yesterday, as we were just going through it again, I realized God wants us to come into his presence. He's crying out to us. He's like saying, here I am, come to me. He's saying, come to me, I'm waiting for you. Father, we thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing like your presence, Lord. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. And Father, tonight we say we hunger, Lord. We hunger for you, Lord. We hunger for you in our lives, but we hunger for you in our church, Lord. We hunger, Father. We want to see you, Lord. We want to see your name high lifted up, Father. We want to see your name glorious above everything, Lord. And tonight we pray for the church, Lord. And I pray for every lie that's been ministering to us about who God is. And we cut that off in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we come against distractions. We come against confusions. We come against things that put stuff in our eyes, Father. We come against that veil in our hearts, Lord, that keeps us from entering in. We say that will not stand in this church in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you, Lord. In this church, we will see you, Father. The veil has been torn, Lord, and we declare it over this church, over every member, Lord, that they will be able to step out, Father, to step into the presence, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Father, for every curse that has been broken, Lord, over this congregation, Father, over every person, Lord. Father, I even feel now, Father, just people just being so blinded. But thank you, Lord, that eyes will be opened in the name of Jesus. Father, that people will be able to see you, Lord, that people will be able to taste and see that you are good, Father, that you are God, that you are Almighty, Lord. We say tonight, Lord, we trust you, Father. We yield to you, and Father, we want to be that city on a hill, Father, that shines your glory, Lord. Father, we want to be that people that walks with the light in our hearts, Lord. If you with us wherever we go, Lord, that people might see you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Father. We can pray, Father, for every person, Lord, that in this week, Father, you protect us. But more than that, Lord, that we won't be able to wait but to get to you, Father, and that we won't stop when things get in the way, but we will keep on seeking you, Father. I just feel, Lord, there's some people that you're saying, I love you more than anything. And expect, Father. And I feel you want them to expect you there, Lord. When they come to you, they must expect you there. Father, I feel there's people that you want to show certain stuff to this week, Father. And I pray that every person will enter in, Lord, that you make us able. You give us that boldness and that confidence, Lord, to enter in, Father. Thank you for that boldness and confidence in us to be able to enter in this week, Lord. I think we're going to be here for a while. if you just want to wait, if you just want to be, just be in God's presence, because He's here tonight and He wants to meet with you. There's one more group that I want us actually to pray for tonight. If you're here and you're like me, you're like, I don't know why the lost must be saved. I don't have that in my heart. When I pray for them, it's just because I have to. Or when I evangelize, it's just because I have to. That good deed thing that we do, it's just because we have to. If you're that person, then I want you to come to the front. I feel God wants to show you tonight. And then we're just going to sit here. We're just going to wait on God. But if you have to go, you can go. Oh, no, I don't know. But I really feel God wants to do stuff in us tonight. As Leona said in the beginning, there's stuff that you've been praying for. I feel God wants to show you stuff tonight about how to do it, how to go about. He wants to show you stuff. He wants to speak to us. May God bless you in this week. And may you seek His face.